You must forgive me as I learn to speak without my mask. It's been 2 years of that. Last week, the Western Church celebrated Easter. It was an amazing time, wasn't it? The music of the organ and the trumpet, the energy of the worship services, including our Saturday evening vigil where we lit the new fire. And it was quite a challenge because it was quite windy, thanks to the Boy Scouts and those who are trained in that area who managed to ensure that the fire was kept within our reach and naturally to do what it's supposed to do. We lit the Paschal candle, and our choir directors sang the Exalted, and the renewal of baptismal vows happened. And of course, over the weekend, we had the opportunity to discreetly meet with family and friends in our own ways over the holiday weekend. Then we had a few days of reprieve before the parish welcomed our primate yesterday, former clergy, parishioners, and friends at the grand 100th anniversary service on the feast of St. George, St. George the patron saint of the church. And if you were not able to attend yesterday, after worship, please take a few minutes, Lorraine, and go downstairs and experience part of the history, just a slice of the history of this church over the last 100 years. So you're welcome to take the elevator or the stairs and go to the other level. During our Easter and 100th anniversary celebrations, we joined with others in the community and beyond to commemorate the 4th anniversary of the van attack here in Willowdale that claimed several lives and inflicted pain on so many families. And around the world, we continue to pray for peace in the armed conflict in Ukraine and other parts of the world, for all victims, and for reconciliation among people of different political, different faith, and other perspectives. And this is all happening as the Eastern Church celebrates Easter this weekend. But at this time, we also think about Earth Day, which we marked on Thursday, and what can we do to make the planet cleaner and greener? And you can see that my days are all running into one, aren't they? Because Earth Day was actually Friday. But I know that you'd forgive me for that. And in all of this, the church presents us with some hope for Easter. For the readings for today engage us in a conversation about the risen Christ and what Easter means to us at this moment in time. You might recall that in our Easter reflection last Sunday, we discussed the immediate reactions of the various people who were told about the resurrection of Jesus. And we would recall that the women believed, the disciples did not. And Peter himself seemed to a bit ambivalent. We also recall from the reading from Acts this morning how Peter was arrested for proclaiming the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. And his response to the charges of the high priest summarizes the early church's proclamation of forgiveness of sins through repentance. And here is what was a portion of what was read this morning from the book of Acts. We must obey God rather than any human authority, because God exalted him, that is Jesus, at his right hand as leader and savior, so that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So my siblings, my sisters and brothers in Christ, when we accept and confess our sins, we open the door to forgiveness by the grace of God. No judgment, no judgment. Forgiveness by the grace of God. So can we be bold like Peter and place God above human authority? Yes, there is the door to forgiveness. And in the second reading from Revelation, we are told about a vision of the risen Christ experienced by John. And here he describes Christ as a savior for all times, who is and who was and who is to come. The beginning, the present, and the end of all time. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So then, the Old Testament and the Epistle readings provide some context for a further look at the Gospel according to John, which started out by reminding us of the state of the disciples after the death of Jesus. We know from Scripture that when Jesus was arrested, tried, and later crucified, the disciples distanced themselves from him for fear of their own safety and well-being. And after his death, they actually locked themselves away because they recognized that they were in a hostile environment and feared the authorities. And isn't that somewhat like us? Sometimes our fears overcome our faith. It is felt that their faith was fragile. Why did they doubt what was announced to them by Mary, the first witness to the resurrection? We too go through times of weakness when we physically withdraw, don't we? Or perhaps in a time of other uncertainty, we check out emotionally, don't we? Perhaps out of fear of getting hurt, don't we? The reaction of the disciples is what one might call a natural reaction, a human reaction, a human response to what's happening around us. So we could just imagine the extraordinary events of the day of the resurrection, when the risen Christ appears to his fearful disciples. He greeted them and provided proof of his existence. He showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Yes, their leader was back. He had been raised from the dead. And we too have the assurance that Jesus is here to help us, for our God is with us through the ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit. We know, however, that Thomas, one of the disciples, was not with them at the time of the original appearance of Jesus. He had not seen Christ himself, and he did not believe that Christ was raised from the dead. We too could demand proof, don't we? Yes, we want tangible evidence. We want to be able to see it, to touch it. Sometimes, even when we have proof, we lack faith, don't we? It's not a criticism. It's just a normal human reaction to demand proof. Some biblical scholars suggest that Thomas missed Easter the first time, but that Christ would not let that be the end of the story, because Jesus came back to the disciples a week later so that Thomas too could experience Easter. my siblings in Christ, Jesus will do the same for us with the promise of a new life. For there will be times when we miss Easter, when we miss seeing the living Christ all around us and through others. What are the chances of meeting our risen Christ through prayer, through worship, and through Christian fellowship? We know that after Thomas believed and worshiped Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The words of Jesus reassure us that the blessings of the resurrection are also for those who have not seen and yet believe. And that includes you, and that includes me. We are reminded that Easter isn't just a day to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. It is a season marked by 50 days which emphasizes a new way of living our lives. And today, John emphasizes what Easter brings. And I recommend three things. First of all, Jesus presented his disciples with the gift of peace. He greeted his disciples, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And today, during our worship, as we do every time we meet, we exchange that peace. "Peace of the Lord be with you." For many, it is both a prayer and a wish that God's peace will be with us all. Yes, my friends, Easter brings the gift of peace. Secondly, Easter brings the Great Commission. "As the Father has sent me," Jesus said, "so I send you." Jesus commissions the faith community to continue the work that God had sent him to do. And we are reminded of our commitment to live by his example in sharing God's love with others. The peace of Easter, the Great Commission of Easter. And thirdly, the gift of the Holy Spirit. "Receive the Holy Spirit," Jesus said. We must bear in mind that the gift of the Holy Spirit was promised to the disciples during Jesus' farewell speech to them. He reassured his disciples that they will have the power of the Holy Spirit to help them as his messengers to carry on the work that he had started during his earthly ministry. We too are confident that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will be with us, for we know that we don't walk through this life alone. Yesterday, I know that we all listened carefully to the homily of the Most Reverend Linda Nichols, the Primate of the Anglican Church of Canada. But I want to share three snippets of her reflection. And in summary, what she said is that the center of our life is the call to deepen our relationship with Christ. She challenged us to think about what the gospel is calling us to do in this time, in this place, especially as the church lives its life in the midst of what is happening in the world. And we don't have to go too far to find out what's happening in the world. Because in the midst of all the brokenness in the world, the church lifts up the gospel of Christ. And we must accept that challenge. A challenge placed with us by our primate, the Most Reverend Linda Nichols. The disciples were so excited when Jesus showed up after the crucifixion. And they later realized the implications of this significant event bringing new life and new hope. Nothing would prevent them from telling others about Jesus and his victory over death. So may we too be filled with faith, with confidence, and with courage as we share the good news of our risen Lord. And to this we say, thanks be to God. Amen.